book of Philippians tonight. You going to be okay? Okay. we won't go to the book of Philippians tonight, but maybe a comment from it, though, that's for sure. But I want us to take our Bibles, and I'm going to try to get started right into what we want to talk about tonight and be respectful for you all's time and patience tonight. But we want to take our Bibles, if you would, and stand with me. We're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, or 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read one verse, and I want us to read that verse together. And we're going to share three thoughts from that area that I believe that will help us to do what Paul is challenging young Timothy to do. I told Pastor, it's just amazing that we get a chance to minister to young people, but I believe that Timothy, like many other characters that we find in the Bible, that God dealt with all of these young people in different ways. We could name many of people. We think about Daniel. We think about Joseph. We think about David. That all of them, when they started out at a young age, they were used by God. And I believe that our young people today can be used by God, and God wants to use them. But I want to challenge them and challenge myself and challenge you tonight that we would fulfill this verse that Timothy or Paul is writing to young Timothy about. And so let's read it, and we will get started here in this area tonight. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse 5. And it says, "But watch thou," y'all read along with me now, "but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." And Paul is encouraging or challenging Timothy just as he began this chapter, talking about preach the word. He's charged him to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season, rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. But not only is he telling them, because at the end time, what he was going to be facing and dealing with the people in the church, but he was also challenging Timothy in some things that you need to be aware of too as you minister. You know, all of us have a chance to minister some way, some form, or some fashion. And what Paul is writing to young Timothy about, I believe it'll be an encouragement to us as well. And we hope to do that tonight as the Lord would allow. Father, thank you again for your blessings. God, thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house tonight. I pray that you would use this time to speak to our hearts, Lord, that we might encourage our people tonight, encourage our young people tonight as well. And if you give Teresa and I a privilege and opportunity to go into Hawaii, that we would do the same there, reaching the young people, encouraging them from the word of God, that they might be used in the days to come as we look at young Timothy and Paul employing him to watch some things in his life. Bless now, I pray. Empty me of myself, fill me with your spirit, that we might speak, thus saith the Lord. And we'll leave here tonight and say that it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you again. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. We think about Paul is writing to young Timothy because now Timothy is being called into the ministry. Paul is going off the scene, but he wants to encourage him in something that I believe that every one of us need to be encouraged in. When we think about our ministry, every one of us have a ministry that God has called us into in some kind of capacity. But I believe a lot of times that what happened is we want to share with the young people while we're there in Hawaii. We want to share with our young people today as well. I believe a lot of times we start out good, but we don't always finish well. Amen?
Amen.
We have a lot of young people today that may start out serving God, but let something happen along the way and they get away from God. We have a lot of adults who do the same thing. When things happen in our lives, sometimes we start out good. How many of y'all met people that say, "I used to be," or "I used to do"? "I used to go to church. I used to tithe. I used to be in the house of the Lord." I knew what all of those things were, and they kind of fall along the way. And what Paul is challenging young Timothy to do as a pastor, it should only be something that a pastor does, but it ought to be something every one of us ought to do as a Christian. We ought to finish well, because I believe that what Paul is telling young Timothy to do. But notice what he says. He says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. In other words, Paul is saying, Timothy, the word here has the idea to perform your ministry completely, to fulfill, to endure, or to go through your entire life serving God. Because you know what? One of the greatest things that you could ever do in your Christian life is to serve God.
That's right.
There's nothing you can do along the way that would be better than serving God. And Paul is challenging young Timothy to do that. So my title for my message tonight is to perform or not to make the most of thy ministry. We need to make the most of our ministry. I want to encourage the young people there this coming week about not just starting out good for God, but finish well for God. And I believe sometimes we as adults, we need to do the same thing, because Paul is going to point out, I believe, three things that I want to draw to our attention tonight that Paul is encouraging Timothy in that he needs to do. And it's something that every one of us as Christians need to do. We need to finish well. So he has the idea. We're going to look at some words and kind of give the definition of it, what he's talking about. But then I try to give an illustration or to kind of lay out something there that we can do that's going to help us in fulfilling the ministry that God has called us to. Not only for the pastor, it ought to be that of every Christian that we ought to finish well when it comes to serving God. So the word here has the idea to make full proof of thy ministry. The word translated proof means to furnish proof. It doesn't mean to furnish proof, but it means to perform it or to fulfill it to the fullest, to carry it out, to accomplish what it is that God would have you to do in the ministry in which you serve in. And that is what he's encouraging Timothy to do. He's going to be a preacher, but he needs to watch in some things, the things that he needs to look out for. This is most needed charge in the ministry today, because habitually a lot of people will start out but never finish what they start out to do. And I believe a lot of young people along the way will quit because times get a little tough. They get a little discouraged. You know, the devil going to do everything he can do in his power, young G2, to discourage you when things get tough. Right. Because you're going to face some times in your life, and we're going to face some times in our adult lives that the devil is going to do everything he can to you to get you to quit and give up on God. Amen. And I believe that Paul here is teaching or telling Timothy about finishing strong, to do some things that's going to help you to keep this fulfilling the ministry in which God has called you to. So let's look at some things tonight he's telling him here that he needs to do. I want us to think, first of all, that he wants him to watch. Watching out for some things that can happen in your life along the way that would deter you, that would turn you off or get you away from the things that God would have you to do if you're not watching. In other words, he wants us to watch circumspectively, to be aware of, that has the idea that you need to be completely aware of everything and everybody and every relationship that you got going on around you. You need to be aware of where those relationships are taking you. How are you involved in them? And some things that can happen that can get you off course and pull you away from the ministry. So watch thou in these things. He says, watch here. And it has the idea, again, to say, watch, to be sober, not intoxicated with drinks. So, you know, I pray that none of them would do that. But he wants them to be vigilantly watchful or wakeful and considerate, this kind of frame of mind, which would take good heed to do what is proceeding around you and what's going on, because it can happen so easily. And these things that we're going to look at that can be on display tonight for us to watch for. The watcher has the exhortation to maintain the proper conduct in all matters of life. So what are some things that we can look at tonight that I believe Paul wants Timothy to be aware of, and he wants us to be aware of as well when we think about watching? Watching. I believe one of the first things that every one of us is going to have to deal with is watching for temptation. Right. Temptation is one of the most prevalent things that can happen in our lives to draw us away from the things of God. You think about when Adam and Eve, when the serpent came to Adam, or when he came to Eve, and to tempt her, to draw her away from what God had already commanded her and him not to do. And temptation comes subtly, folks. You can be, it's like you start out to do something, and before long you get so comfortable in what you're doing, where you're going, the people that you're involved in, and the things that you're doing, and the temptation slips up on you, and you're involved in something you never should have been involved in.
Right.
And you know what? That has killed many of men, women, boys, and girls. Temptation has drawn them away from the things of God. And when Satan comes to you, he knows everything that you are tempted by. He's not going to come to me with, when Pastor shared with us many a times that he used to have problems with alcohol. Satan would never come to me about alcohol. I never had a problem with drinking. I never drank. But there's some things in my life that I'm not proud of. If I'm not careful, when we talk about temptation, Satan will draw you right back to them same old things that would be a hindrance to you in your life.
That's right.
Because of temptation. My wife is saying, you did drink, but I wasn't an alcoholic. That's what I'm talking about. You know, I did drink, but I never drank and became an alcoholic. So I don't know what that's like. What you think about temptation? When Jesus fasted for 40 nights or 40 days and 40 nights, you know, Satan didn't come to him talking about alcohol. Satan came to him to tempt him to draw away from the things of God, to feed himself, because you don't need to do this. You don't really need to do this. You could change them stones. He could change those stones into bread. But you know what? That would have been the temptation to draw him out of the will of God.
Right.
So temptation is something that every one of us need to take heed to. We need to be watchful. You may not have started out this morning to do certain things that you're doing or did today. But you know what? Temptation could have come and you not be here tonight.
That's right.
Satan can draw you away. And it's so subtle that he have you trapped into that old lifestyle, doing those things that are not good for you as a Christian. So temptation is one of those things that we need to be aware of. And Paul is saying Timothy wasn't exempt from it, and neither are you and I. But the Bible tells us there's no temptation taken to you, but it's such as is common to man, in 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. When it comes to temptation, if we are in tune and watching and looking out for it, God will always make a way for us to escape, that we may be able to bear it. That's how God works. But the Bible tells us also what I like about this, and you think about it, what James 1 in verse 14 and 15 says this: but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth death, or it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death.
Right.
I tell you tonight, and I tell you young people, and I'll probably tell them over this time while we're there, you know what? God never tempts us to sin. That verse says that every man is drawn away of his what? His own lust, when he seeks after those things that are not beneficial for him. It's not God putting it out there for you. It's you being drawn to it, lustfully desiring after something that God would not have you to have.
Right.
We've been talking about Joseph and how Joseph was faced with temptation. But you know, when temptation comes, if we're vigilant and we're circumspectively looking and watching for it, we will already have a plan in place as to what you're going to do when you're faced with it. Because if you don't have a plan in place, what you're going to do when you face that temptation, you'll get caught up in it. You might say tonight, well, you know what? A lot of young people say, well, you know, I know what I'm doing. No, you don't. You may think that you do, but you really don't. And you don't really know what you do till you get to that point.
Right.
But one thing you can do is to prepare for what you would do when you're faced with it. Joseph ran. Don't stand there and think that you're so big of a Christian that you can indulge and be around temptation that you know you ought not be involved in, that I can stand up to it. You know what? No, you can't.
That's right.
No, you can't. And the best thing for you to do is run. Run. Get away from it. So temptation is one of those things, and we could say a whole lot about it, but I know tonight we're strict for time, so I'm practicing, amen? So we see that temptation is one of those things that's on display that we can watch out for. So not only we need to be a circumspect about temptation, but another thing that young people are going to face is errant, or being in error. Because you know what? There's going to be somebody out there or some situation that you can get in that somebody going to always try to give you some false doctrine.
That's
or
right.
Some false teaching.
That's right.
There are so many young people that when they get saved, or they live in a Christian home, they can't wait to get out from under their parents. They can't wait to get out on their own. And somebody come along and give you some bamboozle of a story that you can drink, and it's okay because the Bible says that it's okay, but it's not okay.
Right.
Bible tells us not to be drunk with wine, where it's in excess, that you're out of control and out of your mind. Because alcohol has never been something that's going to bring any glory and honor to God.
Right.
But you have somebody that's going to tell you that Jesus was not God. And folks, we know that it's error. And we have people, Pastor, and I'm sure that our brother, I'm looking right at him. Brother Neil can tell you there's so many Christians that they have ministered to and talked to and shared the word of God and discipled them and get caught up in some kind of foolishness and walk away from God. And walk away from God because they get caught up in some kind of error when it comes to the word of God. The Bible tells us that we need to search the scripture and study it for our own selves. Study the word. Study it out. And if it doesn't match up to scriptures and person can't tell you what they're trying to get you to believe, if they can't take the Bible and prove it to you, you know what, folks? It's error.
That's right.
It's error. And Pastor, I'm sure Brother Neil will tell you, there's so many people that have been in this church, and even Pastor has discipled them and told them about not even keeping the law, and they still will follow somebody that's going to tell you that you can keep, that you got to keep the law. If we got to keep the law, Jesus died in vain, and he didn't die in vain. The Bible tells us that there's going to be those that are in error. And even Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy here in this same verse. Look at what verse number 3 says. We can read this one. He says, for the time will come, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, he says, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away turn away their ears from what? The truth. And shall be turned unto what? Fables. But watch thou in all things. So there's all these things that Paul is laying out because there are so many that we want you to believe that God is keeping you away from something. That's what Satan did with Adam and Eve. God is holding something back. You can be like gods. Knowing the good, knowing the difference between good and evil. And that was his approach, and he's still doing the same thing.
That's right.
And young people can get caught up in some kind of errant beliefs about something and get caught up in what it is that they got you caught up doing, folks. If it ain't telling you to go out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ, turn away from them. That's a good sign and a tall tale of what where the truth is being preached, where a church that's preaching the truth and they're going out every Saturday, every Sunday, every Monday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, every day of the week, going out knocking on doors trying to tell people about how they can be saved. That's a good test that you're in the right place, amen? If they ain't doing that, there's something wrong with them fulfilling what the New Testament is telling us that we ought to do. So we need to watch for temptation. We need to watch for error. And you know, and when all of that is happening, we need to watch for opportunities to witness. The Bible tells us to sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that's within you. We ought to be looking where we're watching out for temptation. Even when we're watching out for errant teaching, we need to be watching out for opportunities that we have to witness and tell people the truth. Because that's what God has called us to do. We can have ourselves so caught up in to our own selves that we forget why we are where we are. And I tell you, it happened to me. I got under conviction. And y'all remember just about 2 weeks ago, I was sharing with y'all, and I told Pastor, you know, sometimes we get caught up, and, you know, I don't like listening to that music. I'm glad you didn't have it out there today either. But I tell you this, you can't help them with what you feel sometimes and what you desire to have. The thing that's going to change a person's life, it's going to be the gospel. I asked God to let me be a witness to this young man who cursed every breath, who spoke and talked of vile things. You know what he need? He need Jesus. He needs a good dose of Jesus Christ. And I praise God about 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I had an opportunity to ask him to meet with me. Met him, if y'all heard the testimony, met him out at the Premium Mall, took the Bible and showed him how he was really, again, inerrant with a group of people who are not teaching about your salvation. If you died, are you going to go to heaven? Well, I think I am. I got a good relationship with my pastor, and we have Bible studies, and we do all that. Well, you know what? All that stuff is good. But I need to be ready to give an answer to every man. of the reason of the hope that I have within me. And the hope I have within me is the blood-bought, heaven-bound, because of what Jesus did in my life. And we need to be ready to share that truth with people. And young people, it's not just us old folk. You know what God needs is some young people that he can get a hold of their hearts, that are willing to serve God and fulfill their ministry. And that's what God needs. We need to do it as an adult, but we need some young people that will come up alongside of us and behind us, because we're being good examples ourselves, winning and leading people to the Lord. You know what? I can't wait to share with these young people on Wednesday. I know this little baby over here that just crawled across the fence and stood over there and shared the gospel with her neighbor. And her friend got saved. You know what? That's what we need. That's what we need. And you know why she does that? Because I believe she got a mother and a father that loves Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, Dad. that loves Jesus Christ. And an example of sharing the truth with those that they know that need to be saved. And she does it because she sees it in them. And I hope she does it because she sees it in other members of this church that are doing the same thing. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is within you. The opportunities to witness are some of the things that I believe that Timothy needed to be watchful for. You know what? As a pastor, it would be a shame that a pastor would be so caught up in making sure he got his email account, making sure he answered his tweeters, make sure that he's on Facebook doing all of these things and neglect to be a witness to those people around him. This is what Paul is challenging Timothy to. But he also tells us, I believe, that a pastor ought to be doing, because he's writing to a pastor. He said, you ought to be watching for your flock, the one that God has made you overseer over, because that's your responsibility. And so you need to be diligently watching out for your flock. You know what? I don't know about you all, but I'm certainly glad that I have a pastor that watches out for me, that cares enough about me, that if I didn't come to church, he would call me. If I had a need, he would pray for me. And when things don't seem right to me, he has an idea that they're not right, because he's been around me enough to know that there's something on your mind. Is there something you want to talk to me about? And a lot of Christians who never been aware that they've been around somebody they feel like cares about them, they take offense to it. But you know what? That's his responsibility. As a Christian, as a pastor, as an overseer, Paul has said you need to be watching for the flock, Timothy. Know when your deacon, know when your staff members, and know where they are, and be involved in their lives, because they are to be a help to you in the ministry. But it's your job as the minister to watch over the flock. It's my job as a father to watch for my family. Man, we have to be vigilant and watching and looking out for our family. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. The Bible told, God told, we get it right, amen, they three in one. He told him to keep a guard. In other words, he was to watch for his family. And Adam wasn't being circumspected. He wasn't watching. And the devil comes in and subtly leads your wife into temptation. She took of the fruit, and so did you.
That's right.
Because you're not watching. It's my responsibility to watch for my family. Young people, it's your responsibility to be watchful of the friends that you have. Mom and dad, know who your children's friends are. Know what influences them, and know who's involved. Know where they're going. Know what they're doing, because you need to have the right kind of friends around you that's going to encourage you in the things of God. If they're not doing that, then they're not good friends. And sometimes a good friend has to tell you some things that you don't want to hear, but they tell you some things that you need to hear. So we need to be watching. We all have a ministry, whether we really believe it or not. So we see it here that he's telling him to watch in these things. And there's so many things that we could talk, but he says, watch thou in what? In all things. So there's a watching he's encouraging him in, or he's challenging him in. But notice the second thing I want us to see, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction. In other words, there are some things that we're going to have to endure because in the Christian life, you and I are going to go through some things, and he's not just talking about persecution. Sometimes you're going to have some afflictions that going to be brought on into your life in such a way that it can come so harshly, so quickly, so devastating, it would draw you away from the things of God. Can I get an amen? It will happen to you as a Christian. Endure affliction. In other words, sometimes when we're hurting and sometimes when we're going through pain, you know what? All you can do is endure it, because you know what? Jesus is not going to take, God is not going to take away every pain and suffering that you're going to go through.
Right.
Paul had something bothering him, and he said, you know what? It was the thing that kept him straight with God. And he didn't focus on it so much that it draw him away from God. And sometimes we're going to be inflicted by some things.
Right.
You know, one of the saddest things that we can read in Scripture that happened to Paul, and let's turn to Philippians chapter number, Miss Duffy, we're going to go over there to it, amen? There are going to be some things that you're going to endure as a Christian, and that God wants us to be a good soldier, amen? A good soldier is the one that can endure some things that he's going to go into. And it is a shame that what Paul went through that was adding to his affliction was more than the homosexuals and all of the other people that would be out there be against his ministry. That was going on in that day too, amen? And it's going on in our day today. But other Christians, men who were trying to add to Paul's affliction, look what it says in Philippians chapter number 1. And verse number 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxed confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerity, supposing to add what? Afflictions to my bond. There were people out there who wanted to do all they could to inflict Paul with disappointment or discouragement or to talk bad about him, because they were being a hindrance. They didn't even realize they'd been a hindrance to the gospel.
That's right.
It's a sad testimony when we got people who are supposed to be preaching the word of God and doing it because they're trying to add affliction to another man that's trying
to preach.
Right. Well, what a horrible testimony. But that's how the devil works. He'll do it in every way he can.
Right.
If he can discourage you from being a witness and a testimony to somebody, he'll do it however way he can. Because if he can do it and discourage you, you know you won't tell anybody about Jesus.
Right.
You can go through pain and suffering physically and get so caught up in it. And I'm not trying to downplay that you're not hurting, but you know what? Jesus hurt too.
Right.
He hurt all the way to the cross. And he died and he suffered. And some of the things he's not going to take out of our life, we're going to have to endure it. And while we're enduring it, we got to still be a witness to other people around us, because you know what? They ought to see the grace of God upon your life. Even though I'm hurting, I realize that this man next to me or this woman or this child or this aunt, this uncle, this cousin or this nurse or this doctor, you know what? I'm maybe going through some hard times physically, but I still need to be a witness.
Right.
I still need to tell them about my Jesus. Because you know what? One day, all of that is going to be gone.
Amen.
You know what? And I'm going to have that brand new body. I can still be able to, when I get to heaven, I won't even have to worry about the weather. You remember how I told y'all how I used to go up and check the weather every morning when I go to the gym? I go there and I tell the young man in attendance, I'm going to go check the weather. I'll let you know exactly how it's going to be when I come back down. I go in and do my workout. I go up and check the weather. I come back down. I come back out and I told him it's going to be sunny today. Or it might be raining this afternoon. I ain't gonna say what I always say, honey. Y'all get that after a while. All right, amen. But we're gonna have to endure. We're gonna go through some things. And I'm not trying to tell you tonight that I haven't been through some afflictions in my life. And when God brought them into my life, I realized that he still loves me. He still loves me. And I'm gonna endure. Because I tell you what. Some years ago when I got saved, Pastor Kraft asked me, said, Kenny, if I leave, what are you going to do? I'm going to serve the Lord. And that's my life testimony. I'm going to serve God, irregardless of what happens to me, physically. You know, I realize that my body functions in a different way sometimes when I take on the stress and all of the anxiety and some things that I'm going through. And I'm a witness and a testimony before you tonight. And I believe that's why I have the skin condition that I have. But you know what? When I drove up to the hospital the last time to go up there to see my dad, and he had already passed away. When Teresa and I backed out of that hospital parking lot, she said, "Who's going to preach your dad's funeral?" I said, "I am." She said, "How are you going to do that?" Because I believe that's what God would have me to do. Did it hurt? Oh, yeah, I'm hurting. But you know what? He went to the cross. And I knew that day that I didn't want to see somebody else get up there and bibbling, babbling and saying something and not use that opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. Yeah, I'm afflicted in my pain and suffering and my loss of a dad, but I believe that it was a great opportunity for Jesus Christ to be exalted and see other people come to know him and save him. We're going to have to endure some things that aren't always comfortable. Affliction is one of those things that we're going to have to endure. There are so many things that we could say about that tonight. But some indeed preached Christ, and others were wanting to add to Paul's affliction. But he said, that's okay. As long as the gospel get preached. The gospel still going to be preached. And we are a good soldier. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier. There's going to be some aches and pains. There's going to be some suffering along the way. But you know what you ought not give up on? Sharing with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's going to be some physical affliction. You know, when I think about the physical, Paul said, "I'm troubled on every side, yet distressed." He was perplexed, but yet despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You know, one of the things I think, not only are we going to have to endure affliction, but one of those things that's going to put on display is, because sometimes you ever get fearful, you get afraid. But the psalmist said this. He says in Psalm 56:3, he says, "Of what time I am afraid, I would do what? I would trust in thee." Every one of us is going to face some physical affliction. Every one of us is going to face some times that we're going to be fearful of some things that are going on in our lives. But you know what? We got to be like the psalmist. We got to trust in thee. Criticism. Paul was criticized. Amen. And you're going to get criticized if you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I guarantee, I promise you, you're going to get some criticism in your life. They criticized Paul. Felix said, "Paul, you must be out of your mind." Yep, he was out of his mind for Jesus Christ. Amen. He was out of his mind, but he loved his Lord. I think of Paul here as well. Desertion. You ever get to the point where you just feel like nobody cares anything about you? You just feel so. Paul faced that. Desertion. Look, you just turn with me over, turn back to our text here in 2 Timothy, and notice what he says here in 2 Timothy. Let me find it here. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. Look at what he says here. And he's saying it to Timothy. "Do thy diligence," in verse 9, "do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas has what? Forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto the Thessalonica, Caesarean, and Galatia, Titus, and Delmita." Amen. Desertion. One of the persons that he thought would be there with him to the end, he loved this present world. He deserted Paul. And sometimes when you feel like you get deserted, the next thing falls in is loneliness. You ever get lonely sometimes? Just feel like, you know, you just all by yourself. Look at, and here we go on. Just keep right on down. Look at what Paul says. And he felt deserted in verse number 10, but look at verse 16. And he says, "For at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men for what? Forsook me. I pray God that may not be laid to their charge, but notwithstanding, The Lord stood with me.
Amen.
The Lord was with him.
Right.
You know, when you're facing that lonely hour and you feel deserted, you feel discouraged, you feel disappointed, the Lord will always be with you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, that is one of the greatest truths that we can have that would keep us going, watching, amen, enduring affliction, because we're going to be faced with it. Young people, you're not exempt. You could be jumping around one day, alley-ooping, jumping and dunking, and be the next week, somebody take them legs out from under you, and you never be able to do those things. Gregory put them 56. Look, his eyes got bigger than the 56. But I'm just telling you, it can happen. But you know what? Jesus will still love you. He still loves you. He'll still love you. But sometimes you're going to have to face some of those things. And loneliness is one of those things that can happen to a Christian. You can be in, I've heard it said many a time, you can be in a crowd of people and still be lonely. You surely can. But what are we going to do? Watch. Amen. He says, watch thou in all things. Endure affliction and do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Evangelize it. I thought about this morning, and I was meditating on it, and I looked. How many of y'all looked at that sign there in the auditorium here lately? That one on the back wall. I thought about it. You know what? That is the ministry of every Christian, and it ought to be the ministry of every church member, is to evangelize. Equip or enlist, equip. Help me out. It's evangelize, enlist, equip, and exalt. That is our ministry. And you know what? Paul in telling Timothy that he ought to go out and leave the church. But you know what? Evangelizing, you don't have to leave the church to go out and start another work. He says you ought to be evangelizing in the church that you're in and the opportunities that you have. Because sometimes we forget that is our number one responsibility. Right. To go ye into what? All the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Right. And ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. That is our number one calling. And we need to remember when it comes to evangelizing that you and I have a message that God wants us to carry forth and to share with this world, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every one of us ought to have that message seated on our hearts that we're ready to share that with everybody we come in contact with, because you don't know who's saved and you don't know who's not.
Right.
But we got to be sensitive. We need to be watching. We need to be enduring, but we need to be in evangelizing this world, because that's what's going to make a difference in the hearts and lives of people, is for them to get saved. That is our, that he has a message. And Paul is telling Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, he says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Right. That is the messenger, and he has a message. And that is what you and I are called to do. But we need to be watchful. We need to be enduring, and we need to be evangelizing. And that is how we are going to fulfill our ministry. We have to be on guard. We have to be sensitive, but that's how we're going to fulfill our ministry. You know, it's good to start out, but we ought to want to finish. We want to be like Paul. He's coming to the end of his life, and Timothy is really just getting started in ministry. And that's what he's encouraging him in. And you know, folks, I don't care where you are in life, those things still need to be done in your life. So it makes it just applicable to the pastor whom he's writing to, as it is the Christian. We all need to do the same thing. Because temptation will draw you away. Afflictions will get in your way and discourage you to where you won't be effective for God. And we certainly need to be evangelizing. Continue to proclaim the gospel. We must continue to reach this lost and dying world with the gospel. for to make full proof of your ministry. And I pray tonight, as we will probably share some of this message, if not most of it, with our young people here as we get opportunity this week in Hawaii, we want to share these things with you. And I pray tonight that it's an encouragement to you, because this has been an encouragement to me. It has been, because I want to fulfill my ministry. And every one of us has a ministry. God has a purpose. God has a plan for every one of us. And we need to be watching, enduring, and evangelizing. Father, help us tonight. Lord, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for your blessing. God, thank you for the privilege that we have to be in your house tonight. Thank you for these words of encouragement that they've been to my heart and life this week, as I have been just so enlightened with some wonderful truths that I need to be watchful in my own life. We all need to be willing to endure some afflictions, because they're going to happen as well. Whether they be physical or whether they be the emotional side of our lives, that we're going to be inflicted with some things that could stand in our way of serving you. And I pray that none of us would allow those things to happen. And truly, Lord, we need to do the work of an evangelist. Help us tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, let's all stand at my feet. We're going to ask our pianist to play a hymn of invitation. And I know we may not have the altar here tonight. Our head bowed and eyes are closed. But if God has spoken in your heart tonight about something that you need to do, even in the quietness of where you stand tonight, I pray that you allow God to deal with your heart. We're going to ask our pianist to play a hymn of invitation. And you do what God has touched your heart to do. Father, I just thank you again for tonight. I thank you for the blessing and the privilege that we have to be in your house tonight. And I pray that these truths would not fall on deaf ears, but they would take full effect in our lives and in our hearts. I truly believe that tonight is just not a coincidence that you impressed it upon my heart, the importance of fulfilling our ministry. Every one of us have been called in some capacity to minister. And help us, Lord, not to start out, but to finish out. Endure the afflictions that life can bring sometime. And help us not to be callous, to not to evangelize. That's how we can fulfill the ministry that you've called us to. I'm going to ask our pastor to come and close tonight as he sees fit.
Gregory's continuing to play. Grab God's work in your heart for this evening, about watching your own life. There's things that you need to make sure. There's no certain steps. Some of the models, watch for